Hello, everybody. Place to Be Nation Universe. We are here for the Elimination Chamber Reaction Show. And what a show this was. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my co-host, the Oracle of the WWE, Devin Hales. And Devin, historic show tonight, two Elimination Chambers, the women and the men, and yeah. Definitely going to be interesting to see how it goes from here. The last Raw-only pay-per-view we will have. So, let's enjoy it while we can.
Absolutely, yeah. Although, I will interject and say that, I think that's kind of left up in the air and see how, we'll see how the co-branded events go. I'm guessing they'll be longer.
They already said that it's going to be four hours.
And some people have complained about that. I'm not upset. As a WWE obsessive, I'm glad to win six Sundays back in the year, because there were 18 shows last year. So 12, one a month is awesome
yes,
to me.
I agree.
And so, that's great for an obsessive like me who can go, oh, I have three, out of four Sundays that I never work on, by the way, that I have free now. Instead of two out of four, half the month, it's, oh, there's a fucking pay-per-view this weekend. Great. I mean, to me, that's a positive rather than a negative. And 4 hours, I mean, I could probably do without that, but we'll see how it goes. It's we'll have to wait and see how Backlash does in a few months before I'm ready to completely – shut that down.
Well, my plus is we have to worry about those no more SmackDown exclusive pay per views anymore. Because those are chores.
Yeah, I know.
We got one more to go next month, so we have to deal with that.
Yep. But
anyway, let's get on to this show. Pre-show, not a whole lot going on other than Booker T was on the show. Thank God.
He was great too.
He was great back on the show. So I was hoping he was going to storm the table and run coach off, but didn't happen. So anyway, they had one match, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson against the Miztourage, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. Just a good solid little tag match, good pre-show match, nothing offensive, nothing too great. Gallows and Anderson get the win since they're baby faces now and they're doing something with them. Revival had an interview after the match, which looks like that's going to continue. So, what's your thoughts on the segment?
It was fine. It was a perfectly acceptable undercard tag match to kind of just get the pace of the show going. Nothing special. Solid little undercard opener. The Revival's weird, almost meta gimmick is kind of bizarre, although... I'm not sure if I like it or dislike it yet, as far as their in-ring stuff, it's still really good. They had a really good match on Main Event this past week against Heath Slater and Rhino. It was a perfectly fine little match, and it looks like the Revival Club thing is going to continue.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the Raw tag scene with the tag title match, because I got a feeling, I think I know where all this is going, so... We'll wait and see. All right, let's go to the main show. Of course, with the Royal Rumble, the women closed the show out with the Royal Rumble, so it was pretty much an obvious fait accompli that they were going to open up this show with their chamber, which they did. And we had Alexa Bliss defending her championship against Sasha Banks, Bayley, Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, and Mickie James. And this was an interesting match, the women being in the chamber. Mandy and Sonya all in white.
Yeah.
Which was, different. Different their gimmick. Bayley and Sasha started out early pretty much, dominating as a team. They got rid of Absolution early, and then Mickie got eliminated. Although Mickie was on fire in this match, she looked great. She did the desk press off the top of the pod, which was a cool spot. She beat Sasha to doing something crazy. So
yes, she did.
Props to her. Alexa comes in, and Sasha turns on Bayley naturally. That had to happen during this match. Alexa then beats both of them. and gets the win, retains her title. Cuts this great fucking promo after the match where she fakes, you know, sincerity, although she really was crying. She's fake sincerity and then turned it on the full heeldom. And she's just amazing. She is tremendous on the mic. So props to her. And she's going to face Asuka at WrestleMania the way it looks. So your thoughts on this match? And, you know, do you think that that the women delivered here? Or do you think that it could have been better?
I thought this was an excellent match, actually. I thought it, in fact, you know, we'll get to the men's. I think it might have been better than the men's, actually.
Yeah, I was going to wait and talk about that later, for sure, because I'm inclined to agree with you there.
I thought this was actually not only well-worked, and I thought everybody looked good. I think Mandy Rose is the worst worker of the six pretty easily, but even she was, you know, fine tonight. I was a little concerned they would have Mandy and Bayley start because they had very poor chemistry on Monday, and Mandy had a bad night on Raw in general. Bayley and Sonya have had some good exchanges and matches and had a good little match on main event a few weeks back. So that was a good start. I thought everybody was good, and I thought this was booked really, really well. I liked how they had Absolution. I liked how they stuck together and didn't have them do like the Carlito Chris Masters turn deal. I
like how they stuck together. Oh, God, yeah, good callback.
I also like how they got eliminated first because they're the newbies and they don't have the experience. So I also like, I thought that was smart, brilliant booking to have them get eliminated first. I thought Mickey was like a great sort of like variation of a hot tag. This is the best she's looked. Like, Mickey's had a good run, but this is like, she looked awesome in this match in the few minutes she was in. She was really, really, really good. The huge Stez press off the pod was an awesome spot. She eliminated Sonya that way, I believe. Mm-hmm. Alexa did a really good job as the stooging heel, taking liberties and the advantage and whatnot. Sonya Deville was fantastic in this match. She took the brunt of all the big bumps in the match, actually. She took most of the bumps into the cage, took a couple of big bumps out on the padding on the outside. She was really, really, really good. She's got a high ceiling. She's got a lot of promise. And she's also, you know, As a promo, she's got some work to do, but I've always kind of liked her conviction and her promos and stuff. So she's got a big ceiling, and I thought she did an excellent job tonight. I thought Bayley looked great and also took some big bumps and worked her ass off and actually got fairly protected because they did the callback from the singles match with Sasha from a few weeks ago where she could have gotten the pin with the Bayley to belly off the top, and then Alexa just kind of, you know, took advantage, the heel advantage, and rolled her up from behind. So Bayley got very much protected in this match, whereas, you know, in most of 2017, she was not protected booking. So she's been given a fair and nice little push. Really, the whole entire women's division and really the entire Raw roster has been booked really well, and everybody has everybody has a believable chance of looking competitive and looking like they might be able to win. That's just a nice nod to the booking there. But I thought Bayley and Sonya, the first two who started out, were awesome throughout the entire match. And of course Sasha was great. I liked her character work a lot when she, you know, did the turn on Bayley and her aggressiveness. She was really vicious in this match, which I have to give her a huge plus. You know, the one negative, Twisted Bliss, by the way, which was fucking insane, yes, off the pod. I believe they were trying to do a cross body counter spot with that. But my biggest complaint is that that's just too ambitious. You can't do a spot like that and do the cross body counter like from that height and from something that magnificent. Like that probably should have been the finish. Although I will say that the urgency and drama of the struggle with the bank statement after the follow through that was awesome and really well worked. And the finish was very good as well. So, I mean, that was probably a bit too ambitious of a spot to try to do the crossbody counter, and they obviously botched it a little bit. You could tell. But yeah, it was an excellent match. Really well booked. Everybody looked good. And of course, Alexa's promo afterwards was awesome. So, I'm gonna give that match a big thumbs up for sure.
Yeah, and I thought the psychology of this match was tremendous. It was like an old school war games type psychology in a way, where you know Absolution had the 2-on-1 advantage, and then Sasha comes in to even the odds, and then I like what they did with Mickey. You know, they did the deal where Mickey was supposed to be Alexa's, you know, I would say, you know, henchman or anything, but she was supposed to like protect Alexa, and then she gets eliminated for Alexa, even gets inside the match.
Yeah, that was excellent booking there for sure. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to look at the contrast of the booking in that one compared to the booking in the men's match. But
yes,
I mean, this one was on point, and the women just brought the aggression throughout, which they do. That's what the Raw women just have aggressive matches, and you know Sasha and Alexa are the two catalysts, and then when they're against each other, oh my god, you know you're gonna get some fire there from them, because there is legit heat there between the two of them. So yeah. I thought this was a tremendous match, and Alexa's the right call to win. She's the obvious ace of the division right now, and she's cleaned the whole division out except for Asuka. So
right.
That's your Mania match. The woman that she hasn't been able to beat, who's also happens to be undefeated. So, I mean, this is like a pure sports booking right here. It's great stuff. So, props to everyone involved. The women showed out. They showed why they deserve to be in these types of matches, and I'm so glad for them, because they killed the Royal Rumble match. They killed the Chamber match. So, you know, props to all them. And, well, it's going to be interesting where to go from here. I got to think Sasha Bailey's got to be a singles match for Mania.
Oh, yeah. I actually have another theory about what they're going to do. And we'll talk about that after the Nia Asuka match. But we can go to the tag title match.
Yes. And isn't it funny how times have changed? You know, when the women used to be the match, there'd be the cool-off match, the bathroom break. Now, it's tag title matches that were in that regard here. As they're at the bar, Sheamus and Cesaro defending their titles, because Titus Worldwide, Apollo, not Apollo Crews anymore, Titus O'Neil. I thought the match had some good and bad. It was a little disjointed at times. Sheamus and Cesaro, of course, are awesome. Titus had his issues during the match. Apollo was okay. I mean, it was fine. But, I mean, the Bar got the win. They retained their titles. So they're going to move on. And I got to think that we're going to get some big multi-team match with the Raw tag teams at Mania or something like that for the titles. That's just my opinion. So curious to see what you think about that and your thoughts on the match.
I thought the match was actually pretty good. You know, the biggest issue with the match is just, you know, Titus Worldwide just isn't over. Nobody really cares about the gimmick very much. Even though I actually do enjoy it, and I think Titus, Apollo, and Dana put everything into it. People just don't seem to get into the gimmick. I actually think this is a good role for Apollo, and I think he's actually shined really well in the tag division.
He's had a good year this year.
Yes, he has, absolutely. And he speaking of main event matches, I believe he had a good one with Kurt Hawkins earlier in the year as well. I'm repping main event this week.
Of course, that's your show.
Yeah, Grand Metal League versus Tony Nese was actually excellent this week.
Oh, I can believe it.
Supposed to check that out.
Two great workers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a good role for Apollo, and I think he's much better fit in it. There was some sloppiness and stuff like that, but I thought it was a pretty well worked match. Titus hasn't always been the most smooth or the most cooperative guy, even, which, you know, with the latter, I kind of enjoy. But yeah, he was a little rough in some spots here or there. I thought Apollo was very good in the match, and I thought this was a really solid tag title match. You know, nothing to write home about, but I thought it was a good showing. And you know, the biggest negative is you know, Titus Worldwide was definitely kind of an insert this team here, you know, in the middle of Mania season, because we've got something else going later. So give them a title match because they work hard kind of deal, which is fine. And I'm cool with that. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good little match. As far as what they do with the Raw tag titles, I mean, every year at Mania at this point, you know, if you're in a tag team, I don't think that'll be the case for the women this year, luckily. But if you're in a tag team, you know, you're going to be thrown into a multi-man match. So I fully expect that, and agree with you, Chris, that there'll probably be some type of multi-man match at Mania with 3 to 5 teams or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Revival, you got Gallows and Anderson. I mean, Titus Worldwide can be thrown back in there.
Mr. Raj.
They got something like that they can work with. So I don't know. There's no clear cut opponents for them right now. That's the thing. And Sheamus are awesome. I mean, they need something. I hope they get a chance to shine. Or they could all be in the Andre. Who knows? We'll see how it plays out. All right. Again, that was a cool-off match between two women's matches. It's amazing.
There you go.
Yep. WWE is these days. And I think part of the reason that why the crowd wasn't into that, because the crowd was pretty amped up for the women's chamber. They were hot for that. So, which is the antithesis of some of the other matches on the show, but they were red hot for the chamber match, no doubt. All right. Asuka and Nia Jax is next. And I love the spot they did before the match where you see Asuka's mask and you think it's a prelude to her, and then Nia's foot comes crashing on top of the mask. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
And it set the tone to the match where Nia just steamrolled Asuka throughout the match, and Asuka took the punishment and got a... you know, kind of a desperation victory roll out of the match, and got the win where, you know, you could make the argument that it came off as like a slip on a banana peel deal for Nia.
Yeah.
If you want to. And this was like the least impressive Asuka's looked in a match. So that's a good thing for Nia, though, because that protected her.
Great booking.
Yeah. And then after the match, she just beats the shit out of her, throws her into the barricade. You know, the crowd popped huge for that. And, Nia, you know, softened up Asuka for Alexa, who was interviewed after the match. You know, talking about facing Asuka at Mania, said no one's ready for Alexa, which is a good line. But, I mean, Nia was kept strong. And Nia deserves to be kept strong because she's another one that's had been... really, really good, you know, over the past few months. You know, late last year, into this year. I mean, she has perfected the role that she has needed to play. She finally got it. You know, she's finally become that type monster type heel while keeping her appeal at, you know, outside the ring of being, you know, this pretty woman who is just a large woman who is playing a monster heel. So she's done great. But what's your thoughts on this? Do you think that they did the right thing here and, you know, kept Nia so strong, or should I let Asuka look better?
I thought probably the biggest strength of this entire show was the booking and keeping people strong and to be kept strong. Honestly, and I like the booking here. I actually called the flash pin. I called it for about a week now. I think I did like a fun little prediction thing tweet earlier this week that I said Asuka win with a flash pin, and that's basically what it was in the Rana and the pin. So I mean, And I kind of thought in the back of my head, you know, I wonder if Asuka's going to win, and then Nia is just going to beat her up afterwards. And that's exactly what they did, and I think it was the right decision. You know, Asuka needed to win clean, but Nia needed to look strong in defeat and also to look like a dangerous monster heel at the end as well. So, and I think they accomplished both goals. As far as the match goes, I thought it was really good. It was a little sloppy, but kind of in a good way. Like the spot where Nia went for her somersault and she fucking landed on Asuka's legs. And I loved Asuka selling her leg when that obviously wasn't a plan moment. So I thought that was a nice addition by Asuka to respond that way. Because, you know, some people just no sell it because that's not what, you know, oh, you know, got to go to the next spot. But Asuka did a really good job of acting on the fly there. Yeah, I thought this was really good. I loved all the submission teases and counters by Nia and the big spots. And Nia missing the fucking bonsai drop. What a bump. Like, that was a crazy bump. You know, she's a big person. And to take that bump that was a nutty bump. But yeah, I thought this was a really good match. And as far as my theory that I've mentioned that I wanted to bring up is, if you noticed in the interviews Asuka's had in the weeks to come, I could have missed a word here or there, but she's never announced who she wants to face.
That is true.
I think she's going to face Charlotte, and I think she's going to SmackDown, and I think Ronda's the monster, the big kind of badass on Raw after the contract signing, and I think Asuka's facing Charlotte. I think Alexa's all confidence with her thing or whatever. I think Kurt's gonna give Nia the title match at Mania. I think it's gonna be Alexa and Nia and the payoff to that long term story, and I think Asuka's gonna go over and face and challenge Charlotte at Mania. Simply just off the fact that she hasn't specifically picked her opponent yet.
You're right.
No, I could be wrong. And either way is fine. But the question is, who does Charlotte face? And I think that that's kind of the... If you think about it that way, you know, Ronda's going to be probably in a mixed tag. And we'll get to that segment in a minute. You know, if you do Alexa and Asuka, who does Charlotte face? So, you know, you have to kind of look at it that way, I think. And I think Asuka's going to announce that she wants to face Charlotte. And then we'll get Alexa and Nia. That's my prediction.
I think that's a solid call. And I think that's something that's very possible. And it would kind of make sense. And God knows SmackDown needs something.
Yes.
So, I mean, I know Charlotte's working Ruby Riott, you know, at the Backlash pay-per-view, but, or is it Fastlane,
whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, Fastlane. Working on Fastlane, so I don't think there's going to be a title change there. So, no. Asuka and Charlotte, I mean, that makes sense, and it's a, you know, match that's never happened. So, and it could be a way to get turn Charlotte heel again.
Right.
Which she needs.
Yes, badly. Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, looking at that perspective, that's definitely the right way to go. And it could have Alexa and Nia. That'd be your Mania match.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see. I like that thinking. All right. Now we come to Broken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. And what a match this was. It had all your imagery and stuff that you would expect from these two. It had the fans throwing a beach ball around and getting all upset when that got taken away. They were chanting all their different things, like Rusev Day. You know, if he can't get on SmackDown, he ain't get on a Raw pay-per-view, that's for sure.
No.
And they got into it towards the end. Of course, you know, we got the twist of fate by Matt. Matt finally beats Bray. Hopefully this is the end of that.
God, please.
And I'm kind of wondering here, and it's not thinking about it, Jeff is not too far from coming back, is he?
No, he's not. I mean, he had a surgery in September, if I'm not mistaken. That's 5 months. I believe his injury was about 5 months exactly, if I'm not mistaken. So,
well,
he should be back sometime soon.
Maybe we can see the Broken Hardys against the Bar at WrestleMania.
It's possible.
You know, that would be interesting because I said on Twitter and I firmly agree. I don't think the gimmick works as well without Jeff.
Yeah.
Somewhere involved with it. And right. he needs to be in there. And, you know, we had the Obsolete song was sung during this match for the first time on WWE television as well.
Yes,
and that's
it was.
That's Jeff's thing.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Maybe that's foreshadowing, but I know that, you know, these are two of your favorites at the moment. And
yeah.
this was the match you were looking forward to the most in the show.
Of course, sure.
So did this match deliver to your standards?
sure, it did. it was not awful. It was just bad. I mean, it was not a good match. You know, the bullshit stuff early didn't really work all that well. I mean, some of the fans got into it, and then the fans got bored and did the beach ball gimmick and were chanting shit. And then, you know, I'll give Bray and Matt some credit. You know, they decided, oh, shit, the fans don't give a fuck, so let's do some big spots on the floor that look brutal, and then we'll start doing a work rate match. And that's what they did, and it picked up a little bit from there, and the crowd got into it at times a little bit, but still kind of were into their chants and shit. And then the match mercilessly ended, or mercifully ended. Yeah, it was not very good. They did sort of react to the crowd and decided they were just going to go full work rate instead of goofy, wacky character bullshit. So, in some ways I have to credit them for that. But otherwise it was a pretty forgettable match.
Yeah, I made the joke on Twitter that you know, the crowd was doing all their silly chants and stuff. That they really wanted to be edgy. They should have sang Wild Horses to Bray after the story that came out this week about him spending all that money on a miniature horse for JoJo.
Oh God!
that supposedly was supposed to go to child support or whatever. Well, have you seen JoJo, folks? I mean, yeah. I can see a mini horse being bought. You know, hey, that's what you want, fire horse. Bray's no fool.
No.
But, yeah, and he's somebody that it just seems like he's doomed right now. And he's definitely destined for the Andre, I got to think, as well. He's in that
yes,
category now. Yes,
there's nothing for him to do, which is kind of stunning. To think about, because this was a guy who was in a WWE championship match at this time last year, won the
yes.
belt, and was in a main event program at WrestleMania for the WWE title, and went into WrestleMania as a WWE champion. So it's pretty it's a pretty big fall for him, although definitely deservedly so. Whether it's the booking or himself or giving everyone a disease in October. You know, I mean, I don't know. He's not doing it, doing anything, very interesting right now.
No, he's lost in the shuffle. He needs to go back to SmackDown.
He'll be around forever. God damn it.
Well, I mean, they need to re-gimmick him. They need to do something to change him up, because it's way past stale.
Bring way back Husky Harris.
Hey, I mean, that would be something. He probably has some better matches. That's for sure.
I still think they should have done the deal during the Randy Orton feud where he cuts a promo on Randy and blames Randy for that punt during the build to the Punk Orton feud at WrestleMania 27, where he punted Husky Harris and he disappeared from TV. And then the punt was what made him turn into mentally ill Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's a lost continuity angle for sure. Oh man, well, this show was built around the Elimination Chamber, but the big deal in this show, and the thing that's going to be all over ESPN tomorrow or today as you're listening, and just everywhere in general, Ronda Rousey signing her contract with Monday Night Raw. And it was always going to be interesting to see how they were going to get to where they were going to get to. Well, as soon as Kurt announced that Triple H and Stephanie were coming out, then here we go. So they come out, and they're full-blown babyface when they come out. And talk about how great Ronda is, and this, that, and the other, while Kurt is making these facial expressions. And I thought Kurt was really good in this segment, doing what he did. I thought Kurt was great with his facials and just the way he was going, because you could see something was in the works. All right, and Stephanie's putting over Ronda after she comes out, and Ronda gets in the ring and starts talking. Now, Ronda can talk, but she's not a great promo per se, but she can talk. It's interesting with her. So she gets out there, and the crowd's into her. They chant for her, but it was kind of awkward as well. It was weird. It's weird to describe it. It was weird. It's like that there was part of them was trying, and they were, you know, really getting into her, and then the other part was like just, you know, wanting to be anti everything. So you had a little dichotomy going here, and eventually you start hearing more of the pro Ronda crowd part than the other one. It's like they really worked the mics here, right? Production. It was very noticeable there too, and Ronda started crying, you know, from the reaction that she got. She was trying to get a promo, and again, she did okay, but she was, you know, kind of wooden. Well, thank God for Stephanie. Stephanie's awesome, tremendous heel. And as her and Ronda are doing their thing, you see that Triple H and Kurt's over there having some type of conversation. It's like, okay, what the hell's going on here? And then Kurt, you know, starts talking about how, you know, you know, Triple H said that, you know, it's been 3 years, but now we own the bitch. And before he could say bitch, they stopped him. But bringing up WrestleMania and how Ronda, you know, embarrassed Stephanie and Triple H. And now this is going to be their payback. Which, you know what? That's great continuity booking.
It is.
It's tremendous. It makes a ton of sense. Because you're sitting there thinking, I mean, you know that they're going to play off of it, you would think, because they have that. And they actually follow through with it. Now, of course, The Rock's not going to be involved. But, you know, the way they set it up and Ronda putting over Kurt, and then Kurt playing the character he played, you know, being the shit stirrer. And Triple H was great in this segment, too. Oh, he's been in the hospital with the flu, playing off on the big flu craze. Like, Kurt had flu-like symptoms. We got to get him to the doctor immediately. And just all that stuff was great. And then, you know, Triple H eventually gets back in there and gets suplexed to the table. And Stephanie slaps Ronda really hard and left a hand well on her face, supposedly.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a red hot segment. I mean, it started out kind of odd, but it picked up. And that's the thing with Ronda. Ronda, and I've seen other people say this too, she has a physical charisma that's way stronger than, you know, trying to get in and talk. Right. Because she comes off, like I said, kind of wooden. I've seen her on talk shows and stuff. But her physical charisma is strong. I mean, she looks the part when she's doing it. And they can work on the rest, because God knows we've seen them take people that were not good and make them good promos. So she's got... she's going to have the best training she can have in that regard. But they have something. It's going to be interesting to see where they go and if Kurt's going to be her partner, which I got to think he is, the way he was involved in this segment. So,
Looks like it.
What's your thoughts about this? And is this going to mean that we have two shows yet again where we have dueling commissioner GM deals here?
I thought the segment started off really uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. It was so awkward, it made me uncomfortable. But that's just kind of how, it wasn't like the worst thing I've seen. It was just really awkward. Ronda was definitely marking out and the crying and stuff like that. It was just, it was, you know, in her defense for the promo, you know, a lot of it was, you know, this is the first time out there, and she was obviously overcome with a lot of emotion and excitement. So, and there were probably nerves. I don't even think probably is the word. you know, this is something that she's never done before. I mean, this is not MMA, you know, this is basically, you know, live action performance. So it's different. Kurt had me howling with laughter. I love Kurt Angle. I think it adds to his character and role when he fucks shit up, when he said like WrestleMania 21 first, then he had to change it to 31. And like, someone jokingly said, is Kurt Angle's gimmick is that he has CTE?
He has convenient CTE because he remembers stuff. You know, it just rims wrong. And the thing we got to add in this too is the whole long continuity between Kurt, Triple H, and Stephanie that goes back 18 years.
Oh yes. One of the great all-time great WWE storylines and angles. The love triangle.
There's a lot going on here. A lot of things in motion.
Oh yeah, for sure. It definitely got really entertaining at the end. Hunter was great.
Oh, he's gonna be great as the stooge in this whole thing.
I do have to say that I'm surprised that Ronda didn't get KO'd considering her weak chin and her history with. I had to say that. Sorry, I tweeted that earlier too. I thought that was a really entertaining segment. It started out ugly, but then ended on a big high note, and the crowd popped huge and got into everything by the end. That's credit to the McMahons more than anything, Triple H and Stephanie, for pulling that off, and Kurt too. Kurt was fun in the segment, but. I think it's going to be Kurt and Ronda versus Triple H and Stephanie, which I like. Because it puts the part-timers all in one match, and it also gives Ronda a safe first match.
Yes.
Because she's never done this before, and she needs that, you know, first time to be, you know, a little bit easier. Because obviously once SummerSlam and such hits, she's going to be in one-on-one matches, and that's going to be, you know, having her come in and face somebody like a Charlotte would be a really tough challenge. And this is a good idea. I'm supportive of this potential mixed tag.
Yeah. And there's, you know, a lot of people that firmly believe that Ronda and Charlotte should have been a match, or They're dropping the ball on Ronda, having her in a, you know, a gimmick mix. It's WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania, you know. I mean, and again, there's a lot of logic going on here with all the booking. So let it play out. Ronda's going to get her chance to wrestle everybody. I mean, let's settle down. Let's let it play out. So I have no problem with this at all. And I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, because I love seeing Triple H stooge around. So we're going to see him stooge to Ronda and Kurt. So, and believe me, but stooging Triple H is much better than, you know, Evolution style Triple H. So, but it could be worse. Folks, you got to look at, you were going to get a Triple H WrestleMania match. So be glad you got him here if you're not a Triple H fan, because if he would have been against some random guy in a match, in a feud, it would have been unbearable. I mean, could you imagine how he would have been against Braun? You know, because he would have had to get shine on Braun.
And there's still a chance Braun could be the Ronda's partner, which I wouldn't be a huge fan of. But I think it's unlikely after.
I think it's going to be Braun and Rollins. We'll talk about that.
You think so?
We'll talk about that. Okay. As we're about to move on, because I got a feeling about that one. All right, let's get to it. Main event, Men's Elimination Chamber. The winner gets to face Brock at WrestleMania. Miz, Braun Strowman, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, and Elias. And of course, with Elias earning the right to be the final man in the ring, he got to come out first and do his routine. And he was great here, as always. And Elias has multiple new shirts available on WWEshop.com. And they're some of the best WWE shirts they put out in a long time. So I highly suggest getting one or two, or get all three of them.
Let me just say something real quick. If you haven't seen the ride-along that happened a few weeks ago with Elias, it's must-see. It's something straight. It's something straight out of a WWF Coliseum Home Video exclusive that you would fucking see with, like, Lord Alfred and Sherry Martel and Brooklyn Brawl or a dining or something.
Yeah, come on, the bowling alley.
It was totally in gimmick, amazing shit where he's driving in a Hummer limousine, riding around a Hummer, writing a WrestleMania song. He's totally in gimmick. It's amazing. It's must see. And WWE is actually doing it was announced on that ride along. They're going to have an album of Elias songs.
So I cannot fucking wait.
So yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he is. He's amazing.
He's
amazing. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, and you look at the people on this show that's like him. All right, Elias, Braun, Nia, Alexa. I mean, these are people that went straight into the Performance Center with nothing. You know, basically no experience, and now they have become four of the, you know, top deals on Raw. And
the whole company
straight from
really?
Scratch. Yeah, and the whole company straight from scratch. You know, from their birth, no independent wrestling stuff. You know, they met homegrown, made these people.
Yep.
So I mean, and didn't always start off strong, but they were great. And you look at the, you know, three of the four, Alexa, Braun, and Elias, you know, they didn't have the big NXT run. I mean, Alexa had, you know, was around, but they didn't have, and Nia, I mean, Nia had some big matches, but, I mean, they weren't the NXT superstars. And now they've come up, and they just prospered on the main roster. They got their time to get it together, and they've all become great. So we had a lot going on with this match. All right, you got Elias's last minute, you know, to come in the ring. John Cena is on this mission to get to WrestleMania because God knows he can't have WrestleMania match if he doesn't win the Elimination Chamber, which is hilarious.
Of course not. It's not like he's John Cena or anything.
And you know what was funny? Coach used that same logic with Nia during the Asuka match. Yeah, because he said that if Nia did beat Asuka, she might not have a WrestleMania opportunity. So that's an interesting way they're going now. But so you had that whole story. Braun has, you know, beaten everybody, and he wants to get back against Brock to avenge his loss. Seth and Finn got in there from, you know, winning for double pinfall. So they both got in to make this a 7-man match. Miz, of course, the IC champion, he lost to become the first man in the ring. And Roman, of course, he's on his destiny to face Brock at WrestleMania. So I know a lot of people thought this match was anticlimactic. We know the finish. We know what's going to happen. It's just how do we get there? And I think it's a fair criticism, but you got to understand that this was a plan that was laid out years ago, basically, and they've fallen through with it.
Yes.
You know, they didn't make any quick changes, and they're going to, they're going to stick with what they're going to do. And I got to give them all the credit in the world for sticking to their guns. Whether the fans like it or not, I mean, this is what they're going to do. And the fans are going to boo anyway because they boo Roman Reigns. Like, who cares? You know, the guy's awesome. You know, he's going to get his time. And then we'll see what happens after that. But the match itself, I mean, we started with Miz, Seth, and Finn. And everything was just there. I mean, there was some good action. It just seemed like, you know, something was missing. Even when Roman come in, it just seemed like something was missing. Well, that changed when Braun Strowman entered the chamber. And it's like the match came to life. And the crowd came to life. Because this is what everybody wanted to see. And Braun comes in and, like, you know, Taz, you said the mood's about to change. Well, it changed. And Braun was just treated like this superhuman monster. The way he climbed up that cage to get Miz up there at the top was scary. And then just bashing Miz's head against the glass. I mean, tremendous stuff. Braun is so damn awesome. I mean, God love him. He is amazing. And, you know, Elias was a chicken shit. And he wouldn't come out of his pod until the right time. And, I mean, we get the great action where Braun... I mean, everybody's just beating on Braun, but he just keeps coming back. He takes everybody's shit. He just keeps coming back. And he eventually eliminates every other man in the match.
Yep.
He eliminates every other man. 5 men he took out, which is a chamber record. So he's got that in the books. But, of course, Roman put him down. But Roman had to give him everything and multiple times to put him down. And... it was awesome. And then after the match, Braun attacked him and got his heat back. And I saw a lot of people that were very upset with that because they were like, well, you know, Roman got this big victory and, he, you know, this is supposed to be putting him over and getting him ready for Braun. But here's Braun beating the shit out of him afterwards. And then they play his music after the show goes off the air. So it's like, why did you just do that? It was interesting. So, thoughts on the match and thoughts on what happened at the end of the match and where do we go with Braun from here?
I thought the match was good. I'm not sure it was great. I called it a great match at the end, but it was more kind of I thought the last several minutes were great, but you know, the match was good. Very good even. I really love the pre-match. The Elias concert was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he gets incredible heat every week. Just, like, he's an all-time great character at this point. The Miz was fantastic coming out and getting everybody's face at the pod, mocking everybody, and then Braun scaring the shit out of him. Speaking of the Miz, he was the best guy in the match until Braun came in.
Oh, Miz was great. The circus of kicks. He did. Everybody was on their knees.
I thought he did a great job, like trying to side with Finn and Seth
yeah,
early. And
too sweet.
Picking his spots. Yes, and picking his spots. He took the big bump off the pod. He was excellent in this match.
Oh, Miz is great. He knows how to play his role to perfection.
Yes, yes, and him getting eliminated first made sense. He's got a belt. He'll have a program maybe with Balor after although there's a rumor of Braun too. I think it'll probably be with Balor. So he's fine. Rollins got his push on Monday.
Oh God, yeah.
So he was sort of an afterthought. They kind of had to keep him to the top three because of his push on Monday. But, you know, he was pushed on Monday for a reason. So he's fine. Tonight's match was about Braun and then sort of Roman. You know, Braun and Roman is kind of the two big stars. Braun was awesome in this match. The final section was fantastic. I have to point out, when's the last time somebody kicked out of a spear? Because Braun did that shit at about the 2 1/4.
It's been a little while, if I remember right.
It's been about a year or two. It's been a long time. I don't even think Cena kicked out of the spear. He didn't. He got speared through the announce table, but then he took ate another spear in the ring and lost clean. So nobody's kicked out of the spear in a year and a half or so, and Braun Strowman did that with ease. He was protected tremendously in his loss. And then some. I'm actually fairly critical of the post-match. I actually understand it because the idea is probably, well, Roman's going to get booed out of the building. Let's have the fans go home happy. And get Braun to, you know, beat his ass afterwards. And that got the heat back, like you said. Roman has not been presented as the top babyface in the company.
Nope.
At any point. And especially in the last couple of months. He was beginning to get to that stage when he was the IC champion, but then he lost the belt at Raw 25, and he fell in fourth place behind John Cena and his I've Got to Make It WrestleMania storyline, behind Braun Strowman, who is like the number one babyface on the roster, and behind Seth Rollins last week, who is now sort of like the underdog, like, you know, Seth Rollins is trying to get back his spot kind of deal. Roman's fourth. They're not presenting him as a top guy. This is an issue. This political hit is a real thing or something.
Well, I mean, going on, I saw last week, I can't remember where I saw it, who was talking about it. But, I mean, the thing is that Paul Triple H is not a believer in Roman Reigns and having that spot. And The fact is, you know, Vince is still in charge, but Paul has got more power. And because Vince is going to start to devote more time to the football, the upcoming football league. Mm-hmm. So I think this is something that, you know, they're going to do because Vince is still, you know, deep in charge. But how long will it last with Roman? Because you could definitely see that Braun is the guy. And they got to be careful. He's the guy right now.
Yes. Yes.
And he is already like kind of crossed over in a way. I follow a lot of sports media guys on Twitter, and they don't normally watch a lot of wrestling, but I've seen them comment on Braun and, you know, a decent amount, and especially tonight when he was smashing Miz's head against the glass and the way he climbs that cage, that Braun has this appeal because he's so big and he can do stuff that guys his size shouldn't be doing, you know, and he's just so great in his character that they have this new type of Austin character on their hands, and it's like, you know, you got to make sure that you don't fuck it up. And that was the thing I think about tonight. The reason why they did what they did was they needed to have Braun save face. I mean, even though he beat five guys, he still lost the match, but they needed to have the save face. Problem is, he shouldn't have. So it's you're in a dilemma here.
Because I mean, the guy that you're supposedly going to have win the title at fucking WrestleMania. I mean, forget about him getting booze. That's been going on for a long time. Forget that. He doesn't even present it as a top babyface. So, you know, you've got 6 weeks to sort this shit out. I don't think they can do it. So, you know.
Well, you look at...
Look, I'm a huge, massive Roman Reigns fan, but I don't think they should main event the show with Brock and Roman. I think that should be in the middle of the card. I think they should main event it with something else.
Well, here's the... I think it's going to go...
Maybe Cena Taker at this point.
That would be where I would go. I mean, because that looks like that's the match on the books is John Cena Undertaker. But, I mean, they kind of have to go with Roman and Brock last. But it'll be a situation like it was years ago when they went on last the first time.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, you know, they're on last, but that wasn't the main event of the show. You know, and the whole thing with Rollins coming out. So, I mean, the big match on the show, no matter what, it's going to be the Ronda match. I mean, going to be the match.
That's the money maker, whatever, right there.
Yeah. You know. So, I mean,
Roman Brock's the right decision because there's a 3-year build, and I want to see it, and the match was a classic the first time, and I think it'll be a classic the second time. The presentation of Roman Reigns has just not been quality, in my opinion. Some people would be astonished at me complaining about the presentation of Roman Reigns in terms of them not pushing him enough, but I just think it's true. He's not being presented as a top babyface. He's being presented as the fourth. He doesn't get the mic time. He doesn't get the TV time. I mean, you know, he gets that, you know, work rate matches every week, which is awesome. But he's not being presented as it's not even about him not being a credible threat. It's more, I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's more about him not being presented as an important piece of the puzzle, so to speak. Because, you know, Braun's like the guy and his story, and then you've got the Cena story and the Rollins story. Roman doesn't really have a, I mean, he does, you know, to get that rematch against Brock, but they're not really, they haven't pushed that narrative.
I think it's coming now,
in
though.
In the last couple of months. Yeah.
Oh, they but will. The problem is that what they did tonight, the fans want Braun to be in the match.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So you're kind of gonna have to figure something out here. I mean, you put yourself in a spot, because if Braun's not gonna be in the match, it's not gonna be a three way. Then how are you gonna have Braun out of the situation? I think I think they do Braun versus Rollins at Mania, where the winner becomes number one contender.
Okay, I kind of like that idea.
I think that's how you do it.
That's probably a good idea.
I mean, it's just the thing that sticks out, because I mean, Cena Undertaker is a thing. Miz and Balor, I mean, that should be the IC title match. I mean, Braun and Rollins are the two guys that don't have nothing. So
right,
put them against each other.
Elias will do a concert probably at the start of the Andre.
I don't think Elias has a match. I think Elias does the concert and he gets his interaction with The Rock. If The Rock does show up, which I can see Rock showing up for a cameo, but they're gonna have. I mean, there's gonna be a celebrity angle with Elias. I gotta believe.
Oh yeah, yeah, I think so too.
I mean, if they bring in some big musician or somebody like that, that's your angle. Elias is gonna be an angle guy.
Yep.
For the show.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, it was just interesting how everything ended. So, I don't know. And Roman was on Raw Talk as we were recording, which, of course, I didn't listen to. And he looked like he had been through the match. He looked like his eye was kind of black.
Yeah, he got a swollen eye or something. Yeah, you could tell at the last section when he had the face off with Braun that he had gotten his eye banged up some way.
And John Cena cut this big heartfelt promo, which we didn't really get to hear. And the way, I mean, he was eliminated middle of the road in the match, and he was eliminated, you know, fairly nonchalantly by Braun. The booking of John Cena lately is so intriguing, of how they've been handling him doing the jobs and just how he's been looking. But you know, us knowing what's going to happen, he's going to come out there and know that he has to call the Undertaker to get a Mania match or something. So we'll see. Tomorrow night, whatever's Raw.
It's a big one.
Definitely a big one. It's going to set the tone, because there's no more Raw pay-per-views until WrestleMania. So now let the build begin. So we'll see how that goes. But tonight, Elimination Chamber. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where do you stand?
I'll give it a thumbs up. I thought it was a strong show. The ending was frustrating and weird, and well, not maybe not weird, but you know, frustrating, interesting at the same time. Just in terms of, you know, presentation issues, but I thought this is, you know, a fairly easy thumbs up, even if there were a few things that were kind of into blunder territory. It was definitely a strong show.
Yeah, I mean, the chamber matches were strong in their own ways. And the
women's match was the best match of the night.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the Rousey segment achieved what it needed to achieve. So I got to give this show a thumbs up, and I think that it's gonna be interesting to watch the Raw for the next few weeks, because Raw's been an amazing show, and we'll see how long they can keep it up. So I think they're on a roll right now, and hopefully that will continue as time goes on. All right. That's it for us. We will be back in a month to talk about Fastlane.
Well, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Only.
Oh, my God. That's right. Yeah. Well, it is in March. 2 weeks.
Right upon us.
2 weeks before we talk about that five-way. Because God knows they can't do anything original. A five-way for the title. AJ Styles against Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and Baron Corbin. Oh, sweet Jesus. And
good lord.
wow, SmackDown has been something else. This pay-per-view could be this could be something. This could be the complete opposite of what we've had. We had some really good pay-per-views lately. This one could be the one. So we'll see how that goes. All right, Devin, appreciate it, brother. Thanks as always.
Yes, sir.
And we will be back in a couple weeks. This is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.